بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. So today we begin lesson number 9 in our series on the commentary on أعلام السنة المنشورة of Sheikh Hafiz al-Hakami rahimahullah. And in the previous lessons, after we discussed Islam and al-Islam al-Aam, the general Islam, and al-Islam al-Khas, which is the Islam of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we explained what are the foundations of that: to single out Allah, to submit to Allah in Tawheed, to comply with His obedience, and to free oneself of shirk and its people. After that, we went into the Shahada. What is the meaning of the Shahada, and what are some of the evidences for the meaning of the Shahada from the Quran? And what is the meaning of the Shahada? In summary, it is that Allah Azza wa Jal, it is istihqaqul ibadah, nafyu istihqaqil ibadah, and kulli ma siwa Allah Ta'ala. To negate the worship, the right of worship, for everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to affirm it only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this leads us now, as we said, we discussed the meaning of the kalima. This now brings us to the conditions, the shurut of the kalima. What are the conditions that are required for a person, for him to enter into Islam, for his entry into Islam to be valid, to be correct? So we start with question number 19. And so here the question is, ما هي شروط شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله التي لا تنفع قائلها إلا باجتماعها فيه? What are the conditions of the testimony that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, which do not benefit the one who says it, except when these conditions are combined in him, in that person? So the Shaykh Hafiz al-Hakami rahimahullah, he said, shurutuha sab'a. There are 7 conditions. And then explains each one. Al-awwal, al-ilmu bima'naha nafyan wa ithbatan. What is the first condition? It is to have knowledge of what it means. What does this statement mean when we say La ilaha illallah? To have knowledge, nafyan wa ithbatan. To know what you are negating and what you are affirming. To have actual knowledge of that. Right? Because many, many people say La ilaha illallah, but he does not know what he's affirming, what he's negating. He could be saying there is no God, there is no ilah but Allah. And he may be thinking, like we have the Sufis who believe in Wahdatul Wujud, he might be thinking that he is saying nothing exists except Allah. Nothing exists except Allah. There is nothing in existence except Allah. Or he might be thinking that there are no gods other than Allah, meaning there's only one God that is worshipped, there are no other gods that are worshipped, which is false, because the gods which are worshipped are many. So what a person, what his knowledge is of the meaning, then a condition for a person to enter into Islam and for it to be valid is that he must have knowledge of what it means, nafyan wa ithbatan. Second, athani, istiqanul qalbi biha. Istiqanul al-qalbi biha. Second is that the heart must have certainty. The heart must have yaqeen, must have certainty in relation to the meaning. Right? In relation to the meaning, which is in the first condition. He must have certainty that this meaning is true. Mm-hmm. that it is true. الثالث الانقياد لها ظاهرا وباطنا. The third one is to comply. To comply with what this kalima requires from you inwardly and outwardly. Inwardly and outwardly. And inshallah, we're going to discuss these conditions in a bit more detail from the speech of the scholars in a short while. But we have to understand that these conditions have been extracted by the scholars from the texts to enable us to distinguish between what is valid Islam and who is a Muslim and who is not a Muslim. Let me give you an example. There are many amongst the people of disbelief, there are many kuffar, for example, the mustashriqeen from the Orientalists and other people. They study Islam and they read the Quran and they read the Ahadith and they know exactly what the Quran is saying, just like the kuffar of Quraysh. They know exactly what the Quran is calling to and they understand its meaning. And likewise, they are convinced that it is true. They are convinced that it is true. They have certainty that this is true. However, do they have inqiyad? Do they believe that I am now bound to act upon, I accept that I am bound to act upon this meaning? Like, is there inqiyad? Inqiyad, what does inqiyad mean? Inqiyad means compliance, to comply inwardly and outwardly, right? So these people do not comply, right? A mustashriq, Orientalist, he's learnt the Arabic language, he's read the Quran, he's, you know, translated things, he understands the principles of fiqh, he understands, he knows all these things. But does he believe that he is obligated to comply with what he's understood and that this is binding upon him? And does he accept that? No, he doesn't. There's no inqiyad, right? But he will speak about this is the kalima and this verse means this, and in usul, he will speak about Islam. These people, you find them, and they travel to the Muslim world and they give lectures to Muslims and they speak with all this language and they speak a hadith, and someone would think, mashallah, this man is a Muslim. And this happens, this man is a Muslim, he's so knowledgeable, but he's a kafir and he hasn't entered into Islam, right? So these conditions, it is very, very important that we understand that these conditions, when we understand them, that they help us to understand what is, you know, when a person is in Islam and when a person is not in Islam. That is very, very important. الثالث الانقياد لها ظاهرا وباطنا. The third, obviously, you mentioned that it is to comply with it, the meaning, ظاهرا وباطنا, inwardly and outwardly. الرابع القبول لها فلا يرد شيئا من لوازمها ومقتضياتها. Again, which is acceptance, al-qabul, to accept it and not to reject anything from its necessities, from what it requires from you and from its necessities, right? So for example, you understood the meaning la ilaha illallah, nothing has the right to be worshipped except Allah. You know that from its lawazim is that you have to abandon what you're worshipping. You have to abandon what you're worshipping. And from its muqtadayat, from its requirements, is that you have to bow to Allah, you have to prostrate to Allah, and you have to worship Allah, right? And that you accept that this is obligatory upon you, right? So you have to, this qabul has to be there, that you accept that you are bound to act upon this. Al-khamis, al-ikhlasu fiha, to be sincere in this kalima and what it requires from you. So this now obviously is major shirk and minor shirk, that you have to be sincere in entering. As-sadis, as-sidqu min samimil qalbi la bil lisani faqat. Sixth, it is truthfulness from the recesses of the heart, right? From deeply inside the heart, not just with the tongue. Okay, so this condition, who does it exclude? It excludes the hypocrites. Because a person can say with the tongue what he does not truthfully believe in his heart. So now we know the difference between Islam and you know, Iman and Nifaq. Because inwardly there has to be Sidq, there has to be truthfulness. Al-Mahabbatu laha as-sabi' al-Mahabbatu laha wa li ahliha wal-muwalatu wal-mu'adatu li ahliha li ajliha afwan li ajliha. Seventh is to love it and its people, to have love for it and its people, and to have loyalty and disloyalty for it on the basis of it. Right, so these are seven conditions, because obviously if you accept the meaning and you love the meaning, you act upon the meaning, you comply with the meaning, it necessitates that you dislike what opposes the meaning. So you have wala, you have loyalty, and you have disloyalty on the basis of this kalima. Now the Shaykh, we start with Shaykh Ahmad al-Najmi's sharh, or his commentary first of all, and the Shaykh gives a general remark without going into detail about any of the conditions. He gives a general remark and he says العلم بمعناها نفيا وإثباتا لا يكون نافئا إلا إذا استيقن العبد بقلبه وأيقن به أما إذا علم ولم يعمل فلا ينفعه ذلك العلم. He says knowledge of the meaning, both in negation and affirmation, this will not benefit a person, right? So if you know what the kalima means, لا إله إلا الله, you've understood it correctly, only Allah has the right to be worshipped, and everything else, it's, you know, it doesn't have any right to be worshipped. This will not benefit you unless your heart is convinced, is certain that this, you know, is true, and you have conviction in this meaning. And likewise, if you have knowledge and this conviction, but you do not act upon it, you do not act upon it. And we shall see shortly that the kuffar of Quraysh, they actually had this conviction. They were convinced in their hearts that this kalima is the truth. Right? So this will not benefit either. فَلَا يَنْفَعُهُ ذَلِكَ الْعِلْمِ. And he says, كَمَثَلِ جِمَاءَةٍ مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ. Like we see, there was a group amongst the kuffar, كَانُوا عَلِمِينَ وَمُسْتَيْقِنِينَ بِقُلُوبِهِمْ. They had knowledge and they had conviction in their hearts, أن محمدا رسول الله لكنهم جحدوا ذلك كما قال تعالى واستيقنتها أنفسهم ظلما وعلوا. But you know, they knew that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, but they rejected that, just as Allah says in the Quran, Allah the Exalted, they were convinced in their souls, they were convinced in their souls, but they وَجَهَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْكَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوَى. But they rejected them out of oppression, out of ظُلْم, wrongfully, they rejected them, and out of wanting to have authority, to be, you know, uppermost, and to be high in the land and have authority. Now, the Shaykh mentions a qissa, a story, and he says, وَذَكَرَ الزُّهْرِ. Az-Zuhri mentions that Abu Sufyan bin Harb, Abu Sufyan, who was a disbeliever for a long time and he accepted Islam right at the very end, wa Abu Jahl bin Hisham, wal Akhnas bin Shariq, right? These three men, Abu Sufyan, Abu Jahl, and Al Akhnas, they came out one night in order to listen from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was praying in the night in his house. So they came out, and each man, they came and they took their own seat or position from which to listen. And each of them did not know the other one, right? So they did not know that where the other one was, or the other one had come out. So they spent the night listening to what he's reciting until Fajr. Then they separated. When Fajr came, they left, and it happened that they met on the path. And then they began to speak, and they began to rebuke each other. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? Right? And some of them said, do not come back. Don't come back. Right? So they said to each other, they found that each of them had come to listen. And so they said, look, don't come back again. Don't, because they were fearful that, well, I came. And he knew inside his heart he was being affected. So he said to the other one, make sure, do not come tomorrow, because he feared that if I'm affected, he's going to be affected. Right? So this is what they were saying to each other. Do not, you know, do not la ta'udu. Don't return back. Because if some of the people saw, if the foolish people see you, if the fools amongst the people see you, they're going to, you know, it's going to put in his soul something. He's going to think, what are these people doing here, listening to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at this time of the night? Is there something going on? Right? So they said that to each other. And then they left until it was the second night. Then all of them came back again. Right? Each of them came back again. And to his place where he was the first day. And they spent the night listening until it came to Fajr. So then they left, they split, and again, on the way back, they met on the path again. So some of them said to the others, what they said the first day, on the first day, you know, don't return, don't come back again, don't come back again. And then they went. Until the third night, each man came back again and took his place again. And they spent the night listening again. Then when Fajr came, they went, they split, and they went and they were gathered again on the path they met. And so some of them said to the others that we will not leave here until we make a pact, until we make an oath with each other that we will not return again. So this time they made like an oath or a treaty with each other, like a pact. And, you know, to make sure that they're not going to come again. So then they departed, and then in the morning, when Al-Akhnas bin Shariq, when he got up, he took his staff, then he went, and he came to Abu Sufyan in his house, and he said to Abu Sufyan, tell me, O Abu Hanzala, what's your view about what you heard from Muhammad? What did you hear? Tell me, what's your impression? What's your view? What did you hear? So he said, O Abu Tha'laba, by Allah, wallahi, لقد سمعت أشياء أعرفها وأعرف ما يراد بها وسمعت أشياء ما عرفت معناها ولا ما يراد بها. So he said, by Allah, I heard things which I know, I recognize, and I know what is meant by them. I know what is intended, like by those ayat, by what he heard. And I heard things, I don't know their meaning, and I don't know what they mean. I don't know what's intended by them. So Al-Akhnas said, he said, me likewise, by the one through whom you have sworn, you know, by Allah. Then he left him, and then he came to Abu Jahl. So, right, so this is, Al-Akhnas. So now he went to Abu Jahl, and he went to his house, and he said, O Abu al-Hakam, what's your view about what you heard from Muhammad? So Abu Jahl said, what did you hear? What did you hear? And then so they both began to, he began to say that we, meaning our tribe, and Banu Abd Manaf, we competed with each other in terms of, nobility, that we used to compete with each other. So if they fed people from nobility, like at the Kaaba, then we fed people, because this is from the noble manners. فَحَمَلْنَا. So they carried and we carried, possibly referring to the stone. And وَأَعْطَوْا فَأَعْطَيْنَا. So they gave and we gave, right? So they're all speaking about, like, between the two tribes, how they were competing in terms of, bravery, generosity, and things like that. until حتى إذا تجازينا على الراكب وكنا كفرسي رحان. Until we became like, you know, we became like competing racehorses with each other, competing with each other. قالوا, then they said, so after all of this, here we are, two tribes who are competing in this manner, like a race. Then they, Banu Abd Manaf, what did they say? They said, Minna Nabiyun Ya'tihi al-Wahyu min as-sama. So they said to us, from us now has come a prophet, and revelation comes to him from the heaven. فَمَتَى نُدْرِكُ هَذِهِ. So when will we comprehend this? When will we grasp this? وَاللَّهِ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِهِ أَهَدًا لَا نُؤْمِنُ بِهِ وَاللَّهِ لَا نُؤْمِنُ بِهِ أَبَدًا وَلَا نُصَدِّقُهُ فَقَامَ عَنْهُ الْأَخْنَسُ وَتَرَكَهُ. And then they said, by Allah, we shall never believe him ever, nor shall we, you know, accept him and treat him as being truthful. And then Al-Akhnas went, and then he left him. What does this story tell us? It tells us that these three, you know, Al-Akhnas and Abu Jahl, Abu Sufyan, who was a non-Muslim at that time, they clearly understood that this was, if a prophet has come from their tribe, what does it mean for our tribe? We lose the authority, right? We lose position, we lose status, we lose all that, this, you know, honor, this sharaf, and this that we have amongst us. So they knew the implication. So they heard the Quran, they knew what it is saying, they understood many things, they knew what it required from them, right? They knew the truth, and then because of authority and, you know, things like chivalry and honor and things like that, like tribal honor and power and things like that, they rejected, and they said, they swore that they are never ever going to believe him. Just like in the ayah that you saw, the ayah which is referring to Fir'aun and his people, وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَسْتَيْكَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوًا, that they rejected the signs even though their souls were convinced thereof. And they did so out of ظلم, like this is out of oppression and wrongdoing, and out of seeking authority and highness upon the earth. So what is important from this story? Al-Muhim, the Shaykh says, Rahimahullah, Al-Muhim, Anna al-Ilm wal-Yaqeen la yanfa'u illa ma'al amal. Right? That knowledge and certainty will not benefit except with action. You have to act upon what you know. And you can't allow other things, other considerations, loss of power, or lust for power, loss of honor, because you feel that you're going to be demeaned or lowered or something. These things cannot come in the way of you and acting upon your knowledge and certainty. So those فَالَّذِينَ اسْتَيْقَنُوا بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْإِلَهُ الْحَقِّ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أَوْ مُوسَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أَوْ عِيسَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أو غير ذلك, لكنهم لم يعملوا لا ينفعهم استيقانهم. So those people who are convinced and that Allah is the true deity, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah, and Musa is the messenger of Allah, or Isa is the messenger of Allah, like in their respective times, other than that, but they do not act, then their certainty will not benefit them. وَلِهَذَا يَقُولُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. For this reason, Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentioned the same ayah again, وَجَهَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوًا. This is about Fir'aun and his people, but it applies also to every person who fits into the same category. So amongst the kuffar today, there are amongst the Yahud, the Nasara, from the Mustashriqeen, from the Orientalists and other than them, who enter into this ayah because they are convinced when they read the Quran, when they read the prophetic sunnah, they are convinced in their hearts. But it is kibr, it is other things, it is pride, right? Other things that makes them not, you know, act upon what they know. فَلَا بُدَّ مِنَ الْإِقْرَارِ بِالشَّهَادَةِ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَلَا بُدَّ مِنَ الْعَمَلِ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. So therefore it is necessary to affirm, to corroborate the testimony that none has a right to be worshipped except Allah, that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and it is necessary to act upon that. So this is the speech of Shaykh Ahmed al-Najmi rahimahullah ta'ala. And so next we move to a brief commentary of commentary upon each of these conditions from Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan hafizahullah ta'ala. These are just general brief conditions, like a brief explanation of each one. And he says, La ilaha illallah. So when we make this statement, Laha ruknan, Laha ruknan, it has two pillars. And they are nafi wal ithbat. So there are two pillars to this statement, a nafi wal ithbat. When it is said to you, if someone says to you, what are the arkan of La ilaha illallah? You say they are nafi wal ithbat, meaning you are negating, that's the first part, La ilaha, and you are affirming, that's the second part, al ithbat. And as for, so these are the arkan. So the arkan are different to the shurut, right? When we speak about La ilaha illallah, there are a number of things that we have to grasp. There is the ma'na. There is the ma'na. What's the broad meaning of this kalima, the ma'na? Then what are the arkan? What are the pillars? It is nafi wal ithbat. Then what are the shurut? What are the conditions? Which is what we are discussing now. Then finally, what is the muqtada? Muqtada. Muqtada meaning, okay, so we've understood all this. What now does it necessitate from you? What does it demand and require from you as a person, as an individual? What does it require from you? That's the muqtada. And so the scholars explain all of these things. And so here we are discussing the shurut, the conditions. And as you know, the scholars, they summarize all of the conditions in a line of poetry, which the Sheikh mentions. There are seven conditions. A person will not benefit. This kalima will not benefit except with these conditions. And some people, they organized it in a poetry. And they said, ilmun yaqeenun وإخلاص وصدقك مع محبة وانقياد والقبول لها. Right? What is it? It is knowledge, and it is certainty, and it is sincerity, and it is your truthfulness alongside love and compliance and acceptance of it. Right? So I mentioned seven conditions. So now the Shaykh is going to give us just a brief explanation of each one of these conditions. So he says, فالعلم ضده جهل. فالعلم ضده الجهل. Right? And notice, and this is something that we are going to discuss also further, that these conditions are explained through their opposites. They are explained through their opposites so that there is no confusion about their meaning. Why? Because sometimes we might confuse between some of these conditions. So when we negate the opposite, then the meaning of what that condition is and what it is saying becomes more clear to us. Right? So the first, al-ilm, fal-ilm ضده الجهل. So the first is knowledge. Its opposite is ignorance, right? So the one who says La ilaha illallah bilisanihi wa yajhal ma'naha, the one who says it with his tongue but is ignorant of its meaning, then this will not benefit him. The La ilaha illallah will not benefit him. And as for certainty wal yaqeen, kad yakunu indahu shak. A person could have shak, right? So its opposite is shak, doubt. You could be doubtful. Is it really true? Is there really only one deity worthy of worship? Right? And so you lack that certainty. Because some people, the Sheikh says, they know its meaning, but they have shak. They're not certainty. They don't have certainty. So his knowledge is not authentic, correct, valid. So he must have certainty in La ilaha illallah. Like for example, you might invite a Nasrani, for example, you explain to him what La ilaha illallah, what it means, that none, absolutely none, except Allah alone, has the right to be. So he's understood. he's understood what you are saying, which means Isa can't be worshipped, and the other things have to be abandoned, the worship of other things have to be abandoned. He knows all that, but he's thinking, well, okay, I understand it, but is it really correct? Is it really correct? He's not convinced that they shuck, right? So in the presence of that shuck, then there cannot be valid entry into Islam, right? The shuck has to be certainty that this is the truth. Then he says, وَالْإِخْلَاسِ ضِدُّهُ الشِّرْكِ. So obviously the opposite of ikhlas is shirk. Some people say la ilaha illallah, but wala yatruk ash-shirk. So now this is not sincerity, right? You haven't abandoned actual shirk that you are committing, worshipping others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, مِثْلْ مَا هُوَ الْوَاقِعِ الْآنْ إِنْدَ عُبَّاد الْقُبُورِ. Like what you see with the grave worshippers, they say la ilaha illallah, but it will not benefit them because from its conditions is to abandon shirk. So here, al-ikhlas ضده الشرك. Here, sincerity, the opposite is shirk. Then he says, والصدق, والصدق ضده الكذب. Truthfulness, the opposite of which is lying. Lying. Because they say, when they say la ilaha illallah, يقولون la ilaha illallah, لكنهم كاذبون في قلوبهم. But they are, they are liars in their hearts. And obviously this is the state and condition of the hypocrites. What is it? لا يعتقدون معناها. So they're not truthful in believing in the meaning. They might understand the meaning. They might even be convinced of the meaning. But do they really believe it? Are they truthful with respect to it? And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said in Surah Al-Munafiqun, إذا جاءك المنافقون قالوا نشهد إنك لرسول الله. When the hypocrites come to you, they say, indeed, you are the messenger of Allah. والله يعلم أنك لرسوله. Allah knows, indeed, you are His messenger. والله يشهد أن المنافقين لكاذبون. And indeed, Allah testifies that the hypocrites are indeed liars. So they came to the messenger and said, we believe, we believe, we believe, but they are لهذه الكلمة, that you love this kalima, ben lihadi wa kalima, that you love this kalima, waliyan, waliyan li ahliha, and you be a wali, you be a ally to its people. You are an ally to its people. And as for the one who does not love it, or does not love its people, then it will not benefit him. Right, so you can't have all these other prior conditions. You know the meaning. You're convinced it's true, right? You are certain. You have sincerity. You abandon shirk. You are truthful in what you're saying. But then you do not love its people, and you love other than its people. You have an alliance with other than it. This doesn't make sense, because it should follow that your muhabba should follow on from that. The next one, والانقياد, which is compliance. And this is ضد الإعراض والترك. ضد الإعراض والترك. This now, the opposite of which is just to turn away and to abandon. Meaning that you know all of this. You've understood the meaning. You are certain that it's true. You have conviction. You have ikhlas in the sense you've abandoned shirk, you don't worship any other deities, and you are truthful in what you say, but from this point, that's it, you just think, well, okay, just turn away, it doesn't concern you, I'm not bothered, not interested. And you find people like this, there are people like this, I've met people like this. They know the meaning, they're convinced that meaning is true, they know that they can't worship anything, so they abandon worshipping anything. And obviously they are truthful in the sense that, you know, that they are truthful in when they say what they say. But then from that point, they completely turn away from everything and do not comply with it. And that could be for different reasons, right? So one person that I met who's on the verge of accepting Islam is that, well, he can't let go of the type of food and the drink and the lifestyle that he's, you know, living. So he can't commit to it. He can't commit to that life of compliance, right? So he's just going to ignore everything and make himself forget everything and turn away and just continue with his life, choosing deliberate ignorance, meaning non-compliance, and just forgetting, right? So now you are not complying, right? This, even though he says everything else, yes, it's la ilaha illallah, I understand what it means. I'm convinced it's the truth. You know, I will not worship anything besides Allah. I say it truthfully, but he will not comply with anything because it doesn't. So this is not Islam. This person has not entered into Islam. والقبول القبول المنافي للرد بأن لا ترد شيئا من حقوق لا إله إلا الله وما تدل عليه بل تقبل كل ما تدل عليه لا إله إلا الله تتقبله تقبلا صحيحا. Here now this is acceptance, the opposite of which is rejection. So here you do not reject anything of the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the rights of La ilaha illallah, of the rights of this kalima. And what this kalima indicates, rather you accept everything that this kalima indicates. Why? Because this kalima indicates many things. There are muqtadayat, right? That you accept the halal, you accept the haram, you accept the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallam, and so whatever comes to you, you make qabool, right? Of whatever the kalima necessitates. But if you reject something, well, yes, I accept everything, but I can't accept this. This thing I don't understand. This thing I can't accept. For example, you might say, you might believe that inheritance for a woman is half that of the man. Well, this I can't accept it because I just can't accept this. No. This now is rad. This is rad. Right? If you make rad of anything which is from the muqtadayat, the necessities, that which follows on from the kalima la ilaha illallah, then this cannot be this, you know, this cannot, this negates your Islam, and your, you know, it doesn't enter you into Islam. It prevents your entry into Islam. And some of the scholars, as you know, have added another condition, not all scholars, but some of the scholars, and they say وزيد ثامنها الكفران وبما مع الإله من الأشياء قد أُلِّها قد أُلِّها أو قد أُلِّها. So he says, and the third one has been added, which is to reject and to disbelieve in whatever has been associated with other things which have been worshipped, right? To reject in whatever has been ascribed or associated with Allah, with the only one deity, of things which have been given devotion and worship. So what does this mean? This is the eighth condition. What is it? It is al-bara'atu min ash-shirki fala yakunu muwahhidan hatta yatabarra'a min ash-shirk. So this now is al-bara'a min ash-shirki wa ahlihi. This is like another condition that you must have al-bara'a from the mushrikeen. And he mentions the ayah wa idh qala ibrahim li abihi wa qawmihi innani bara'un mimma ta'budun. When Ibrahim said to his people, to his father and to his people, indeed I am free and innocent of whatever you worship. So these are the shurut of La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Meaning, right, I'm inwardly, this is a bit like qabool as well, this also.